Welcome to Financial Strides, powered by Woodley Faramanian Portfolio Management. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Emily. Join us for financial conversations that fit your life. Practical, simple, personally paced.
Follow us this way to financial contentment. Welcome back to Financial Strides. Emily and I are glad that you're here with us today because it is an episode to celebrate.
It is.
It is number 10.
Unbelievable. It went from, are we doing this thing? Now here we are, 10 episodes in. Crazy fun. Thanks for being with me through this journey.
Oh, absolutely.
Kim and producer John, shout out.
Yeah. I think producer John has a special celebratory.
Nice.
For
there
us.
It is.
Yeah.
There it is. Love it.
This is what makes him worth every penny, people.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just like, hey, I've got something special for you. And air horn it is.
And if it weren't for producer John dragging us back into, you know, keeping us on track, Lord knows how many, if we would have made it to 10 by now.
So. Yeah, that does kind of bring up one thing that I was kind of thinking back to when we got started with the podcast and kind of one of my favorite memories that is just like a total train wreck now to look back on. Is when we first started, we thought we were going to do video from the very beginning. And in short order, John was like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, let's kibosh it.
Why don't we try just audio for a while?
Yeah.
There was a lot of adjusting of lights. Mm. Why do I have a weird look in my eyes?
All the chins. All the chins. It's right out there for everyone to see. That's all I could see when I looked at the
camera. Anyone who's thinking about doing this in your own career or on the side for, you know, just like personal growth or a hobby that you have, just take a bit of advice from us from the get-go. Don't jump in with video right away. Or if video is a crash and burn, don't disregard the idea. Kind of ease yourself in with, with the audio.
So. Sure. Yeah. I think that you make a good point, though, just ripping off the Band-Aid, getting the first episode under your belt.
Yes.
That's huge.
Which also was hashtag awkward.
Yes. Very. Well, and then imposter syndrome is a real thing.
Right.
That was a big struggle
for me.
There was
a lot of reading from a script.
Yeah. Who's going to listen? Who wants to listen to us? Like, who the heck am I?
Right.
To tell anybody anything. So anyway, getting past that, it's been wonderful. Glad we're here.
And again, thank you guys for hanging with us and getting us all the way to 10 and not demanding that we be ripped from the airwaves.
Yeah. No pitchforks yet. I love it.
Love that. So this kind of brings about like a little bit of change in structure that Emily and I talked about for the 10th episode. And this is kind of going to be a fun speed dating, get to know your hosts type thing, maybe.
Yeah, love it.
Emily went out and gathered probably a list of like 50 questions that could be asked in a podcast. And we printed the list off, gave them to each other, had each one of us choose 5 of them. And then we didn't tell the other person what we were choosing, though. So we didn't want it to be a total surprise because we didn't want to waste a bunch of everyone's time as we're like
a lot of
let me think. I don't know. I mean, Emily and I have lived a lot of life.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe
we are no spring chickens.
Yeah. Maybe if you would have caught me like when I was 18, my like bandwidth of recalling something would be much faster. But now it's like I need to have that slightest bit of prep time. But anyway, we thought it'd be fun if we didn't let the other person know what they were going to be asking us. So we're just going to kind of bounce around a little bit and ask some different things. So hopefully it gives you guys a little bit more insight on Emily and myself. We've, I think, going to cover some stuff about things in the financial realm, you know, how we view things.
Yeah, some personal stuff.
Yeah, as far as our own financial strategy, you know, some personal stuff. And then if we have time at the end, we're just going to do like a rapid fire, like yes, no, coffee, tea kind of thing.
So you got to stick around to find out.
Yeah. So no fast forwarding. Listen to it all.
Oh, Lord. I love our rules.
Like we know.
Well, speaking of 18-year-old Kim, I've got
the first question for you.
Okay.
If that's okay. Yeah. You ready?
Yep. 49-year-old Kim is conjuring her right now.
Gosh, you said it. Good for you.
Or Rolodex.
No shame. Good for you. Well, I guess full disclosure, I'm 43. I guess we're going to put it out there. It's our first.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is. We're in our 40s. So pray for us if that's your thing.
And I hope you're going to still listen to us.
Yeah. I'm hot, if you're if you're wondering. Anywho, what money lesson from childhood still sticks with you? I love this question.
I would say that there's probably a couple, and they're two different types of lessons. One was the idea that both my parents had, even though they weren't together at the time that I was starting to drive, but they very clearly laid out the expectation to me that if you're driving, you have a job and we'll help you with the car, but gas, insurance, things like that, it's on you. And so I started working when I was 14 after school. And I think that was one of my most valuable childhood lessons, is really making that connection between working for a wage and then taking that wage and applying it to something that was important to you. And so even though it sounds very simple, that concept, I think, sometimes is difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah.
As you're growing up and learning how to manage your finances. And it really is that simple. Boils down to, you need to work to make money to have the things that you're interested in.
Right. Not nothing. Obviously, love is free, but things, you know, items, things like cars and insurance policies cost money. And yeah. I love that your parents, you know, put you in that scenario, but you had the parachute, which was them.
Right.
So, you know, they're not shoving you into the deep end. They're there should you get into trouble. But, you know, if you don't weigh in, you don't wrestle. So you have to have a stake in the game. And I love that.
Yeah. The other thing was the idea of, when I studied off campus, when I was in college, I had a credit card that I used. So I was able to establish credit early, which is part of this lesson. And then when I wasn't working when I was off campus, because I had my job through like a work study program on campus. And when I studied off campus in Europe, I came home and had quite a hefty credit card bill. And instead of just paying it off, my dad arranged for me to have a personal loan at a reduced rate that would be lower than the credit card interest rate, with just like a little hometown bank he co-signed for me. And I remember getting that first little coupon book for my loan and making that payment every single month. And that lesson stuck with me of how to use credit responsibly. And so those are my two lessons. The connection between working for the things that you desire, and then also how to use credit responsibly. And knowing that having short-term debt, for the experience that I had when I was studying off campus, it was an okay thing because I had a plan to get it taken care of.
Exactly. A plan.
And also, I'm glad I told you guys at the beginning that I was 49, because for everyone that's out there that's wondering, what is a coupon book?
Oh.
It was when you used to still tear out like your monthly payment slip.
You would get a loan. They would hand you a book, literally a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you would put a check with that monthly payment slip and you would put it in the mail.
A stamp on it.
Put a stamp on it.
Yeah.
And away it went.
Well, checks, you may even have to explain, is the, the hard part about that at this point. I haven't had checks in like 20 years. But yeah, that is the way it used to be done. Fun fact, I was also 14 when I got my very first job at one Dairy Queen. And then
I worked at the yogurt shop. I don't know if
Right.
Yeah. I feel like crazy coincidence. About this connection of
I sold frozen yogurt.
Yes. Of success in life.
And what were you doing? 32 flavors? Is that where you were?
No, I was TCBY.
Okay.
So I was also the country's best yogurt.
Soft serve
and hard pack ice cream.
Oh my. Yes. Another coincidence. And then you mentioned high credit cards. You know, you came back Premier with high credit card debt. Well, I mean, I'm sure relatively speaking, but I feel like that's a rite of passage for yes. almost every single young person, especially around college age. And I remember being in college and walking to class and just having tables lined up of people trying to get me to sign up for a credit card. Of course I did. And then came back.
Well, I mean, they're probably also giving away t-shirts.
Oh, I'm sure there was something free involved or some like, I don't know, hand squeezy thing or something, but came back from school, got a kitten got sick, maxed out that credit card, saving my poor kitten's life, and was in trouble. I mean, I couldn't afford that. That's why I had to swipe my credit card. But anyway, I had to fight my way out of that. I remember clawing my way out of it. But very valuable lesson learned there.
Which might be the answer to your first question that you have for me is, what is one financial decision you made early in life that you would be do differently now?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, it does somewhat relate. Okay, so very young, summer job prior to college that then, like I worked there off and on for years and started a 401k very young, which is awesome, right? On the road to good things, I know now. But then, you know, mid-20s got into some trouble. I'm no longer working, so it's been rolled into a 401k. Get into some financial trouble. I cashed out the IRA that the 401k got rolled into. It was about $5,000 back in 2009. So I just Googled, and Google's been, you know, gave me some varying answers, but I'm just going to roll with today that IRA would be worth anywhere $52,000 to $57,000 if it had been just invested into an S&P 500 fund or something. By the time I retire, which is going to be around, we'll call it 20 years, give or take, it would be around, I think, just under 400,000, something like that. So when I say I would do it differently, maybe I still would cash out the 401k. I would like to say no, but what I wish I would have done prior to that is talk to other people. Maybe somebody else could have helped me or just find a different route, because in my mind, that's just $5,000. My money is just sitting there, not being used. You know, retirement's 100,000 years away when I'm, you know, in my 20s. So I just wish I had sought a different source and let that IRA just sit there to this day and until retirement. And yeah. Now that I do what I do, I beat myself up all the time about it. But I'm not, you know, eyes forward.
Do you feel like that this is a cathartic experience for you to tell everyone that you cashed out at,
you know, 401k? If I save one poor, 26-year-old from cashing out what they look at as some little piddly IRA, then it was worth it, Kim. It's all been worth it.
Thanks for taking one for the collective financial strides team out there.
Yeah. It's just funny. When I was reading through the questions, I read that question immediately. I thought of that IRA and I was like, grr.
So this will be funny, not funny, because I knew this was going to happen. But one of my questions that you can feel free to ask me now is what is one mistake that you see people, one financial mistake you see people do over and over again?
Let me see. Let me get to it. What is one financial mistake you see people make over and over? There it is.
Please refer to the last 3 minutes of the podcast.
Oh, did you cash out of an IRA?
I did not cash out a 401k, but again, this was kind of like a twofold. So I guess I'm answering each question twice. So don't tell the authorities. But the one thing that I did that I regret, I see people cash 401ks out or roll them over into an IRA and then take it out prematurely. But what I did when I first started was I didn't take advantage of my full company match. Because, you know, I really liked that number on my paycheck being what it was. And if you just right out of the gate say, I'm going to commit to putting away whatever percentage is matched, and you don't even let yourself get one or two paychecks deep.
Yeah, because you get used to it.
Yeah, that initial meeting with HR, that initial paperwork, you just say, what's the match? That's my percentage. Uh-huh. And I think it was something where I did half, mm-hmm. and you know, it's that thing of like, oh, well, I'm going to do this just to start out, you know, just, you know, make sure everything's okay budget wise. And then I'll go back to it. Spoiler alert. I never went back to it.
Right.
And that also turned out to be a very valuable lesson after I started at Woodley Farah is George Farah, one of my mentors there, took me aside the very first performance review that we had and said, here's your raise and here's how much of it I want you to put into your 401k.
Oh my gosh, he did that to me too.
I know.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, and at the time I'm like, whoa, guy. And now I'm like, thank you very much.
Well, yeah. And at first it kind of made me feel bad, right? Because I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. I couldn't at the time. But it, looking back, I'm like, he should have done that. You know what I mean? It's good. It's what he does for a living. And right. If I remember, at one point I heard George say, like, if he could do something in addition to what he was doing, he would teach, you know, basically what we're doing, like financial wellness to young people.
Right.
Because that, I mean, with compounding and all of that, just, oh, Emily of yore. I wish I could.
Yeah.
I wish he had the Financial Strides podcast.
That's so if you're listening, George.
Yes.
Somewhere on the golf course. Good looking out.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you.
People don't forget, George. And that was some good advice there.
Okay. So I know I kind of jumped ahead a little bit and I didn't mean to lead the witness, but I thought, well, this is just.
No, I think it's perfect.
This is just too
perfectly too perfect. Tied in.
So next question for Emily, what is something people feel guilty about that they probably shouldn't?
Ooh, okay. This is a two-parter for me too. And I've said at least one of them before. So we'll go back over that one. The number one thing, because I like to reiterate that one, since we're name dropping people in the firm today, I'm going to give a shout out to one Ross Bennett, who looked at me and said, you can get loans for education and school, but you can't get loans for retirement. And I see parents beating themselves up because they want, you know, it's like, oh, this is the one thing I want to do is pay for my kids' education. And if that is the most important thing to you, then by all means, don't let me stop you. But to give you some perspective, if you can't afford to retire and that doesn't bother you, then okay. But don't put too much pressure on yourself to pay for your kids' school when they can get loans. I mean, I don't want to work until I'm 100 years old, personally. So,
samesies.
So anyway. It's okay to pay yourself first. That's okay. It's also okay to, you know, put yourself out there, pay for your kid's school if you want. But I wish people would not feel guilty about putting themselves first in their retirement, their future first over their kid's education.
Yeah. And I think another like just little side point to that too is also not to feel guilty for not fully funding your child.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, be supportive, obviously. Like it was my husband and I planned to have them get loans because we honestly wanted them to. I want them to have some, you know,
skin in the game.
Yes. Thank you. Not a stake in the game, skin in the game. I don't know why that phrase escapes me every time I try to say it, but yeah, we wanted that. And then we'll help them in the future, pay those loans. And maybe that's silly for me being a financial advisor with interest on loans and all that. I know it's kind of a catch-22 there, but it also means that my husband and I have money in the future to help them pay. You know what I mean? Because we're paying ourselves first. And, you know, going back to the IRA that got cashed out prematurely, I feel maybe I'm a little behind on saving for my retirement. So that's where I'm really, you know, aggressively focusing my funds at this point to play catch up. I keep telling myself I'm not going to feel guilty about just stockpiling money into a 529. I'm going to get myself where I'm comfortable for the future. And then that will help my kids out at that time, basically. Right. So that's number one. I cannot reiterate that enough. You'll probably hear it again in the future. Sorry for that. Number two is don't feel guilty about wanting more. I think that people sometimes have a hard time, and I'm one of them, so I'm talking to myself, have a hard time balancing gratitude and ambition and desires and dreams. So yes, have gratitude for what you do have, but don't feel like you don't have gratitude if you want more than what you have. I guess I give you permission.
Well said.
Not that you need my permission.
Well said.
I'm saying this to myself too. So there you have it.
Great point.
Okay. So I'm excited to ask this next question because when I get scared, I look at Kim constantly. So, and I feel like Kim has no fear at all. So I can't wait to ask this question to hear something that she felt that felt scary to Kim. So something that a decision that felt scary to you, but worked out.
Interestingly enough, it was starting at this firm.
Fun.
It felt very scary to me. Again, going back to the fact that I started working when I was 14 and right out of college, I started with a small benefits administrator. It was privately held and I loved that type of environment. We were bought out by Principal Financial Group, you know, shifting to Fortune 500 company. It brought a lot of advantages, but I really missed that small privately held company. And when there, I never really realized how much I missed it until Principal decided to close our location. And it was very much just like everyone came over from Des Moines and they brought 50% of the people into one room and 50% of the people into another room. And some people were told, hey, tomorrow's your last day.
Yeah.
And these were a lot of people that had worked.
Tomorrow is your last day.
Well, I don't know if it was technically tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. I would be like, oh.
But I mean, you know, end of the month, old. You know, something like that. And, you know, this was a lot of people that had been working together for decades.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was like our family. And so it felt very scary to me to try to move on from that because I was so afraid of it happening again. And I was so afraid to not have a job. Mm-hmm. And side note, this was also in 2009.
Oof. 2009 again. Woof.
So trying to get a job in finance, going through a headhunter, when I went to interview with the firm, I didn't even really have like a clear understanding until I had gotten to the interview process of what specific firm I was even applying for. This headhunter was kind of matching me. And so that decision for me felt very scary because it was just such a leap of faith. And it was at a time when things weren't super stable with the market and the financial landscape. And I just thought to myself, like, I could be making a huge mistake. And, you know, my husband and I were married. We were wanting to start a family. And there was just a lot that I felt like I was stepping out on faith. But
look at you now.
But it worked out.
And how long have you been with us again?
Well, I mean, I started in 09. So
math.
Yeah. Wow. So over 15 years.
That's crazy.
So
funny. My husband and I had very long conversations before I started with the firm. And now 10 years later, here it is. Like I almost didn't.
Yeah.
It's just the weirdest thing. And now like y'all are going to have to drag me out. Screaming. Yeah. You're going to have to shove me out the door. So
Emily, you don't have to leave, but you can't stay here any longer.
Yes, exactly. So it worked out for you. It worked out for us too, Kim, because my Lord,
I appreciate
can't imagine.
That.
I can't imagine this place without you. So
I appreciate that. A financial habit you swear by.
Okay. So this is a fun one and one that I came up with after we started the podcast, because I'm making a promise to our audience. I am practicing what we preach, right? So got the budget shored up, which is fine. But I know, you know, people relax at night and like scroll through social media, right? Well, not me. I was scrolling through basically like cheap websites that sell, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say them. Am I allowed to say them, Producer John? Like Temu?
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Financial Strides does not endorse Temu.
Well, Financial Strides doesn't, but Emily was endorsing the heck out of them. there. Okay. So if I'm not allowed to say Temu, then you're going to hear a beep. And you'll hear a beep when I say that word. When I tell you, you're going to hear a beep. But anywho, I would just scroll through and literally mindlessly. I didn't need any of the things that I was like, ooh, that's cute, purchase. And it felt so innocent because, you know, I'm getting 15 things for like $35. But when you do that 5 or 6 times a month, that starts adding up, right? So to rein myself in, I'm no longer allowed to just mindlessly scroll through shopping websites. I am allowed to purchase things. I just have to have a need. Like the need has to arise, like, oh, I could really use a new pair of black pants, work pants, for example. Has to be very specific. At that point, I may go out and seek a pair of black work pants.
Not 8 pairs, because you'll get free shipping.
Yeah, or not a pair of black pants, this top, and this, you know, little decorative frog that holds my headphone case. Like, you know what I mean? Just ridiculous. So I was like, stop. And again, when you're spending $15 here, $12 here, I mean, I feel like my husband would be like, is that new? I'm like, yeah, but it was only $7. You know, trying to even tell myself, like, it's only $7. It's so innocent, but that adds up. So anyway, so that's my habit, is I can't mindlessly scroll through shopping websites. Or
so you're scrolling with intention.
Yes. Now. And I'm seeking out those websites only when I have a very specific need. Otherwise, I just do not even open the app.
Do not approach.
No. And I have to reiterate to myself before I open it, like, okay, you're looking for this one thing. You will type it in the search bar immediately and choose something from the options and not move on after that.
Well, and in your defense, they're rather, you know, predatory too, where it's like, oh,
I get emails.
Are you sure you don't want to add this? Because you were looking at this frog that was your headphones last time.
And it's like, oh, ship directly to you, or free shipping, or clearance. You're like, now it's 4 cents. You know what I mean?
Now we'll pay you to take it.
Yes. So anyway, that's silly, but it's a little thing that I feel like has changed things for me drastically.
Oh, for sure. Because like you said, it adds up.
Oh, mindless scrolling every night. So that's done now.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, your turn. Here we go. Funny. This kind of ties. Yes. What is something you happily spend money on?
Travel, hands down.
Oh, yes. Delicious. I
decided early on that was my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
your splurge.
That's my splurge. You know, my husband and I have a nice home, a wonderful home. It's in a great neighborhood. We love the setting. It's not fancy by any means. It's in desperate need of updating.
Oh,
because it was built in the 80s.
So much pressure. That's coming back. 80s are coming back.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Because we're ready.
You're ahead of the game.
Yeah. I get an old Commodore 64 hooked up in the living room.
My husband talks about his Commodore 64 all the time.
So yeah, like I said, we have very nice home. Everything is very suitable for us, whatever. It's not fancy, because that's something that's just not in my category of, hey, this is what I happily spend money on. Same thing with cars and stuff like that. But the one thing is travel. I love to go places. I love to explore new areas. I love to introduce that concept to my children and have them be well-established travelers and comfortable with all sorts of things that go along with that, like, you know, making your flight arrangements, where you're going to stay, planning a trip.
You're so good at that too.
Oh, thank you.
Kim plans all of our work travel. That responsibility has been put on her because she's so good at it that none of us even attempt it. We're like, okay, tell us where to go, Kim.
Yeah, like I love to try like fun restaurants, or, you know, just like scour the internet on these little gems that are tucked away and just waiting to be discovered. So, yep, no question. That was the first one I chose because I knew it was going to be travel.
Yeah, that's, I'm going to second that because, you know, life is short and the world's big. So you want to see some more of it. I set aside funds every month specific for travel. So hopefully, you know, when they get to a certain point, they can be spent thereon. So yeah, I dig on some travel.
Financial success. How do you define it? Other than being well traveled.
So it's not with a number. I feel like people have a number in their mind, like I am successful at X point. And it's very specific. For me, it feels different. For me, I would define it as a feeling. The goal of this podcast, if you feel content, if you are not stressed out, it doesn't mean you're living in a mansion necessarily, unless that is how you define it for you. But, you know, growing up, finances were very stressful. My mom was constantly stressed out. My dad was constantly stressed out. As a teenager, you know, scraping change off the floor to buy a gallon of gas. Thank goodness it was so cheap back then. Because my God, when you put, you know, set $1.17 and change down on the counter, you can actually get a gallon back then. So my goal was just to not feel like I'm drowning all the time.
Right.
So I just, whatever that looks like for you, that's where you're, I feel like you're successful. Call yourself a success. If you want to put a number on it, fine. But for me, it's just like, oh my gosh, I went half the month without checking my bank account every single day. You know what I mean? Like, whew, I exhaled, you know, yeah, like exhaling.
Just that relief.
Yeah. Your shoulders come down from your ears and you can fall asleep at night.
Yeah, I like how that kind of also sets it up to be a little bit of a moving target and knowing, mm-hmm. you know, kind of tying back to what you said before of like, don't beat yourself up for wanting more or yeah. wanting to kind of go the next step and just say, it's not a place that I reach where I say, okay, here's financial success. But like you said, more of just that feeling of I'm fulfilled.
I'm okay.
I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm not stressed. I'm not yeah. worried.
My eyebrows are intact and my hair isn't like I haven't ripped all the hair out of my head. You know what I mean? Just for me, that is financial success. And, you know, I love how you like the fluidity that's fluid because, you know, I do still have goals that I need to achieve before retirement and that kind of thing. But for now, if I'm not, it's not just overwhelming me and my thoughts.
Right.
I feel successful. Like, whew, call today yeah. a win.
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. And you can be successful today and not tomorrow or not yesterday. You know what I mean? Like it
right.
can be, it's fluid. Okay. So final question for you. When you think about money, do you think first of security? This is a multiple choice. Security, freedom, generosity, or opportunity?
I would say freedom. Followed up closely by generosity because I truly believe that I have lived a very blessed life, especially in the latter part of my career. And there's times where I'm just kind of like, I'm not really sure how this happened.
But,
so I think generosity is definitely a part of that for me. But I think the freedom is key for me because I love what I do and I want to keep doing it until I don't want to do it anymore. Instead of, I feel like I have to work mm-hmm. for this number of years in order to have the lifestyle that I want in retirement.
You want a choice.
Right. Because I think that's when there's a definite shift in individuals and how they approach their work ethic. You know, it's like kind of that thing where you just like stayed too long at the party. And you know, I just want to have that time where I've managed my finances in a way that I have the freedom to say, you know what, this isn't in the best interest of anybody any longer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to go. You guys are ready for me to go. And I don't have that pressure of, but I need to stay because I'm going to outlive my money. And,
right.
and, you know, I think that's a real fear of people now because individuals are living so much longer
yeah.
than they have in the past. And, you know, I think the age is like 78 and change or right. something now. And it used to be, you know, you're lucky to make it to 70.
Right.
And
yeah, 70 is young now.
Yeah. And no one's trying to look for a job when they're
like, oh man, he was only 70. I mean, that's what people say now.
Yeah. And nobody's trying to look for a job at like 78, 79 years old.
Oh, thank you.
When you have, you know, more life to live and you've run short on cash. So I would say freedom number one, with generosity as a close second, because I really believe whether it's sharing your actual funds or your talent or your time or your expertise or anything like that, this life and career has brought a lot of blessings to me to share. So
yeah, I love that. I love that. And that, to me, ties back to the success, because financial independence equals freedom. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
to feel covered and feel like you have a safety net and have choices.
Well, and like you said, having that exhale.
Yeah.
Of I'm okay here.
Exactly. So,
okay. Last question for you.
I'll make it quick.
What do you hope listeners feel after spending time with us?
Oh, okay. I forgot that I picked this question, but I'm glad I did. I want them to feel like they're not alone. I want them to feel like they have someone that relates to them. I want them to feel some relief eventually if some things that we've mentioned are implemented. Well, and just listening, just feeling relief, like, oh, there are people out there that understand and yeah. have and are in the know and have some advice for me. And I want them to feel hopeful. Like there's a future for me that doesn't look scary in the world of finance, in the world of my finances, and there's a path that I can see, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. Well, all the cliches.
Right.
but hopeful. I guess in brief.
Yeah. That's, I think what really started it for both of us was just to really take that edge off of people being intimidated and almost feeling beaten at the financial game before they started.
Exactly.
Because, oh, I'm only here and I've got so far to go. But again, like we titled the podcast, The Financial Strides, you know, the first step is the most important one.
Yeah. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. So
do we have time for rapid fire? I don't know, Producer John.
Go for it.
Okay, we're going to go for it.
All right, Producer John has given us a thumbs up. So do you have the rapid fire?
I don't. Okay. I don't have them. You have them.
Okay. So I'll just read them off and then we'll just each answer. Yeah. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee, hands down.
Coffee.
With one full protein shake dumped in it.
Same. Yeah. Emily from a long time ago, I was just like, do you actually drink coffee with the cream or
is it more splash of coffee into a lot
is
of
it
cream?
More of just like a coffee flavored whatever else you're drinking?
Yeah. That I've since replaced with protein shake. But yes, that's how I drink it.
Yeah. So both coffee drinkers. Early bird or night owl?
Okay. So this has shifted. I am now an early bird, but I used to be a night owl. Like my natural hours were like 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. But now it's more 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And that's if I'm lucky. That's a good night. But yes, I've definitely shifted in my aged years. How about you?
I would say probably also shifting for me to kind of like straddle it, because I mean, natural tendency is to be an early bird, but having two teenagers and wanting to spend time with them makes me adapt to their schedule, which is night owl. So I don't sleep a whole lot right now, but, you know, I catch up on that later.
And the entire time I've known you, you haven't slept.
Yeah. So,
I'm not sure how you do that.
Whatever. Also something that, you know, ties into the coffee.
Kim doesn't sleep.
spreadsheet or notebook?
Okay. I'm going to go heavy on spreadsheet, but I do have various notebooks laying around on my desk.
Yeah. I love a handwritten note because it helps me remember it better if I write it down. But if I'm tracking something or need to add something up or calculate it.
Yeah.
Also love a good spreadsheet.
I live in spreadsheets.
Save for the thing or buy the thing?
Oh, that's very dependent.
Right. That was my thing. It's like, it depends on the thing.
Yeah. It depends on the thing. I don't even know. I would have to have a specific example. Sorry.
Okay. We'll go to next.
Okay.
Beach vacation or mountain cabin?
Oof. Beach vacation, if it's a vacation. If I'm going to be forced to live somewhere, I'm not sure if that's even the question, then I would do mountain cabin. Does that count? Does that work?
Yeah. No one's forcing you to live on the beach.
Okay.
Okay.
I love a good beach vacation, but if I have to be somewhere long-term, I'm going to go mountain cabin.
Okay. Yeah. I'm beach vacation. I feel like that the the beach part like alleviates my need to do things in the town because I'm like, hey, we're just going to the beach or hanging out at the pool. But yeah, longer term, I'm with you in the mountains.
Isolated mountains.
Cook at home or go out.
Oh, I'm not the cook. My husband cooks. So we've been, scrolling through Temu at night. We've been trying to eat at home more. And so I don't cook, though he does.
Yeah, same.
Full disclosure.
Everyone in my house would starve if I was the cook.
Yeah, I just don't care enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, just throw something in the microwave. I don't care. He cares and it's precious.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm like cheese and crackers.
Yeah. I think I got him a card for our anniversary that says, thank you for always feeding me and telling me I'm pretty. I would probably starve if he didn't cook me dinner.
And we also say thank you to Emily's husband in the office because when she brings in stuff that he makes, it's always
It's
a big chef's kiss. It's wonderful.
He's a great cook.
Favorite comfort show?
Oh, I'm going to go when I'm feeling blue, I'm going to go New Girl. Mm. I always get a giggle. It's just nonstop laughs for me. And it's targeted at our, you know, our age group.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For me, started during COVID, continues to this day, Great British Baking Show.
Oh, cute.
I love to watch people bake. Like, it's just, it's so calming.
And Kim's an excellent baker.
Well, thank you. But, and also just like learning about the people and things like that. It was just something that I started watching during COVID. And I'll sit down and I'll watch episodes or seasons that I've already seen. And it was another thing that I loved to watch with my youngest daughter, too. So, a lot of happy memories there about somebody getting, you know, raked over the coals about a soggy bottom or, you know.
I love British phrasing.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's
their perspective is fantastic.
Okay. Last thing on the rapid fire, and then we'll wrap it up for you guys. One thing that's always in your bag.
Oh, everything? only my life. One thing that's always in my bag. Aside from like something obvious, like my cell phone, I'm going to go with sunblock for my lips.
Well, and I'm right in that same vein with you. Mine is some kind of chapstick.
Yeah. I can't the sun on my lips. I can like, it's like I can feel cancer forming. I don't know what it is. It's like the weirdest thing, but I have to have some form of sunblock product for my lips.
So if we ever see you out and about and you guys ever need anything, like if your lips are chapped, like Emily and I have gotcha.
If you want to share chapstick, remember from Napoleon Dynamite when he goes to the nurse's office? Ooh, gross. Sorry, this is what I thought of. Anywho, we'll let you go, but thanks for joining us and I hope you had fun.
Yeah, we'll see you next time on Financial Strides.
Bye-bye.
That does it for this episode of Financial Strides. Please check out our website at woodleyfarah.com for more information, resources, and episodes.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to follow us and leave a comment. We love your feedback.
Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Financial Strides.